Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. We'd like to encourage everyone to please sign the attendance register at the end of the pew and pass it on down the row for your neighbors as well. If this is your first visit to Berea Christian Church this morning, we want to say a special word of welcome to you. We'd like to invite you to visit with us at the back of the church following our service. We'll be back there shaking some hands. If you'd drop by and let us know this is your first time with us, we'd be honored to share a small gift with you before you leave today. Right after this service is this year's crop walk at the Central United Methodist Church. The address is in the announcement page of your bulletin. Registration will begin at 12:45, and the walk itself will begin at 2 o'clock. Jill McCombie has some more information if you'd like to ask her. She'll be doing the children's sermon here in just a few minutes. Our annual turkey dinner is scheduled for Thursday and Friday, November 7th and 8th. Cooking turkeys will begin not this week, but next week, the Monday through Wednesday mornings of October 21st through the 23rd, then again the following week on the 28th through the 30th. Tickets for the turkey dinner are available to be picked up and sold at the back table. Also, tickets for the quilt raffle are back there as well. We're once again needing donations of candy as well as volunteers to decorate their vehicle trunks for the trunk or treat on Saturday, October 26th from 4 to 6 o'clock. That's always been a great time here at Berea, so please consider joining us for that event. Also, please read through the information in your bulletin announcement page to learn more about several other activities taking place in the life of our fellowship in the upcoming weeks and months. Do we have any other announcements today? All right, Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. His name will be praised now and forever. The Lord rules over all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Let us sing hymn number 274, all stanzas.
I love your church, O God, on earth your blessed abode. The people our Redeemer saved with his own precious blood. I love your church, O God, whose walls before you stand, dear as the apple of your eye and graven on your hand. In love my tears shall fall, in love my prayers ascend. To serve your church my toils be gave, till toils and cares shall end. Beyond my highest joys, I prize your people's ways. Thus we communion, solemn vows, the hymns of love and praise. Sure as your truth shall last, to Zion shall be given the brightest glories earth can yield, and brighter bliss of heaven.
Thank you, Julian Hernandez, for being our acolyte this morning. May we bow in a few moments of prayer. Almighty God, as we journey into the fall season, we're grateful for the privilege of gathering here in your house. We look forward to seeing the colors of fall, and we've already begun to feel the cool crispness of the morning air. We are grateful, Lord, for the gift of our place of worship, We also give thanks for the love and fellowship of those who choose to gather at Berry Christian Church as their place of worship. O Lord, we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that we wouldn't be here were it not for his life and his teachings and his sacrifice and then his resurrection. So we worship a living Savior, and we welcome his presence now as we begin our worship service this morning. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. All right, we'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as Andrew leads us in singing the first stanza of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus, I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
No place to sit. This is a good problem, right? You can always sit on the floor, too. So, good morning down there. Good morning. We had the whole top row filled today in the morning service. That's unusual. So, I wanted to talk to you about joy. When I say joy, what do you think of? Happy? The song, Yes? Grateful. I love this. Raising their hands. All these manners. Excited. Being happy. Very good. Somebody's teaching a lot of good stuff at home. Sometimes it makes me think of Christmas, right? Because you hear joy a lot in the songs. Well, I had a joyful moment this year. Actually, just a couple weeks ago. I took some posters and some markers into the Gateway classes. And I had talked about the crop walk last month, right? Well, today's the day. Got my t-shirt on. It's going to be in a couple hours, so that's where I'll be going after this. And I was so happy with the posters that you all made. I wanted to show them to the audience, yeah, the congregation. So, here they are. I'm not going to say any names because They're all equal in the art world, right? So you want to help me carry them or hold them up so the audience, sorry, the congregation can see? These are all from just one small new class that we have. I have more. Keep passing them. Hold them up so everyone can see. We're going to make some joy in here by the time they look at all these. And one person actually took them home and worked on them. So I'm going to take them to the crop walk with me today. I might put them on a stick so we can hold them like a poster. I might put them on a clothesline. But I thought that brought a lot of joy, didn't it? So thank you, Gateway class. So let's say a prayer. You can still hold them, that's fine. So let's bow our head and say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for the joyful moments that art brings. And thank you for when we do art, we can think of others, like we did here at the crop walk. We pray for those that have supported us, those who have prayed for us, and those that will be walking this afternoon. We are so grateful that the children experience joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jill. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to remember. We are delighted that Ted Ferris and Jill Gregory are both out of the hospital. And Ted, good to see you here this morning. We continue to remember Barbara Mayberry and Peggy Treese as they are home recovering from surgery. We also lift up Sonia George's brother, John Martin, and In Carol's family, our administrative assistant, her mother, Anna Lou Spencer, continues to be in our prayers. For Melvin and Dora Manley, we're remembering their friend, Bunny Duggan. And we continue to remember David Haynes in the midst of respiratory concerns he's dealing with. Bob Maddox is still anticipating surgery on the 25th of October. And Connie, we're remembering your brother, Chris Embry. We always keep the Jacobo family in our prayers, and Rayana Ralston, daughter of Ruth Ann Solomon, is still dealing with a number of health issues while still anticipating that heart valve replacement surgery. Joan, we are so delighted you're able to be with us today. Praise God. Glad you're here. Carrie, you had... Oh, well, hey. You are here. Oh, well, great. I'm so glad you could be with us this morning. Praise God. Wonderful. Thank you. And we're lifting up a number of other people that we've been keeping on our list. And also this week, keep Joe Weekly in your prayers. He normally attends the 8:30 service with his wife, Kathy. But Joe is on an 8-day trip to China starting on Friday. So we know that's a long trek of a distance for Joe, so we lift him up in prayer. May we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, with heads bowed before your presence, we remember that prayer in its purest form is the making of earnest request known to you. We remember also that our prayers should begin with an offering of praise and end with thanksgiving. Thus on this Lord's Day, we first offer praise to your holy name, for as the psalmist declares in Psalm 115, let us, O Lord, not honor us, but let us honor your name and give glory to you. And as Daniel chapter 2, verse 20 declares, praise be to the name of God forever and ever, wisdom and power belong to God. And as we have mentioned the names of loved ones dear to us, we know that there are also the needs of many whose names are unspoken, who are in need of your great care. And it is with confidence that we continually seek your Spirit's great assurances and renewal. For as a portion of our text this morning tells us in Philippians, in all prayers we are to ask you, God, for all that we need. And as we make our earnest requests known to you, We know that like loving parents who carefully listen to their children's woes, worries, and fears, whether they be cries from skin knee, cries for a lost loved one, or moans in a war-torn city, your Spirit is present to render great comfort and hope. And as we offer praise and petitions, we also conclude with thanksgiving. For Paul tells us to always pray with a thankful heart. And in doing so, we know that our minds and hearts will indeed be safe in union with Christ Jesus. This is our prayer, therefore, as we also recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Nathan, we thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. So let us open our hearts and prepare to hear God's message for us today. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us give thanks for this message today. Amen.
It has been said that worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. The Old English root word from which the word worry is derived simply means to strangle. And when we are captivated by worry, we must admit that our ability to take the initiative to solve problems is too often strangled to death. As we gather at the Lord's table this Lord's Day and every Lord's Day, Jesus reminds us that we can take our worries to Him as He says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And as 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 tells us, leave all your worries with God, because He does care for you. So as we take our place at the Lord's table to receive the bread and the cup, symbolic of the redemption that we have in Christ, may we first lay our burdens at the foot of the cross and enter into a time of meditation as we turn to our communion hymn, which is number 501, There is a Balm in Gilead, as we sing all stanzas, number 501, please.
There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my work's in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. If you cannot preach like Peter, if you cannot pray like Paul, you can tell the love of Jesus and say He died for all. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. Don't ever feel discouraged, for Jesus is your friend. And if you lack for knowledge, He'll never refuse to lend. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, He took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, He took a cup, gave thanks to God and gave it to them, saying, "This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before this table, we come with grateful hearts, lifetime of gratitude for the greatest gift ever, the gift of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. As we take these emblems, let us be reminded, not only today, but every day, of the sacrifice he made so that we can have eternal life with you. We just ask that you bless his gifts and gift of remembrance of his life and his suffering. Ask that you would love us as you do unconditionally. We're thankful, so thankful for that, and that you would always forgive us and know that you do for the times that we disappoint you. We just thank you for that, again, that unconditional love, that wonderful, wonderful gift of Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. I was working on this meditation earlier in the week, only to find out that yesterday my son and daughter-in-law visited the very place that was mentioned in the story. The 40-year construction of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, England, in the late 1600s, was first overseen by the distinguished astronomer, mathematician, and one of Great Britain's most acclaimed architects in his day, Sir Christopher Wren. While the construction was underway, a journalist thought it would be insightful to interview some of the workers, so he chose three, and he asked them this question. "What are you doing?" The first worker replied, "I'm cutting stone for 10 shillings a day." The next answered, "I'm putting in 10 hours of work a day on this project." But the third said, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren construct one of London's greatest cathedrals." And even today, St. Paul's is considered to be one of London's most significant architectural wonders, but what is truly more important is that it was built for the glory of God. As we put a portion of our financial resources in the offering plate this morning, we may want to ask ourselves, what is my vision for this offering? Am I putting it in the plate out of fear of retribution or because of some sense of obligation? Or am I putting it in the plate so I can contribute to the glory of God's kingdom here in this day and time? It is with joy that we envision our offering being used for the greater cause of God's purposes, as we first of all offer up a word of prayer and then receive our tithes and offerings.
Lord, we are humble at what you provide. When we see something small that you make mighty, our lives are dedicated to you in our service and our gifts. We as a congregation are strong in our faith and ask for your blessing on these gifts and for your guidance for them to be used to do your good will. In Jesus' name, amen.
We give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Some folks have the attitude that when things aren't going their way, they have a license to be grumpy or maybe even rude. or sometimes even violent. Yet, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Philippi, we, people of faith, should always have what he calls a gentle attitude, for the Lord is coming soon. May we pray. Gracious and holy God, guide us today in our quest to be more like your Son and our Savior Jesus Christ, for in doing so, this is how we most appropriately honor your kingdom here on earth. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. It seems that we folks here in the United States are becoming increasingly narcissistic and focused on having our own whims and wishes met. It seems like the media is telling us that we should have it our way, right? Have it your way. Think of all the different little phrases that are out there in our media and advertising that are all centered on the idea of you getting what you want, how and when you want it. But yet the truth of the matter is that impulsive, destructive behavior can come about when we are so focused on wanting things our way. And of course, the whole road rage thing, I think, has been a part of that, right? And the road rage idea has even kind of spilled over into the takeout windows of fast food restaurants, of all places. A 24-year-old Toledo, Ohio woman was charged with felony vandalism for punching her fist through a McDonald's drive-through window when she was told that they no longer had any chicken McNuggets to serve her. True story. Here's another true one for you, too. When a Wendy's manager restricted a customer to only 3 packets of chili sauce with his order, as was the policy of the company, without paying extra, you see. The customer pulled out a gun and shot the manager in the arm several times before speeding off. Sadly, that assailant was never caught. One McDonald's customer in Oregon was so distraught when he discovered that his orange juice was not in his drive-through bag that he called 911 to report the incident. The phone call earned the customer a night in jail for improper use of the 911 system. It's a Class B misdemeanor in Oregon, and in fact, the customer never did get his orange juice. We laugh at these sort of instances, but the sad commentary is the fact that they are all true. That people get so irate and they feel that they are justified to project their poor behavior just because they feel that they have been put upon. Now, as we look at the Bible, and especially today as we focus on the Apostle Paul and his writing of the letter to the church in Philippi, what we have to understand is that this sort of behavior is not new. It's been going on for centuries. When people feel that they are threatened or put out, they feel like they are justified in sometimes the most brutal of behavior, as we saw the Apostle Paul facing as he brought the gospel message to the folks in Philippi. Now, Philippi had become a very wealthy commercial gateway between Asia and Europe over the centuries. Early in Philippi's history, gold and silver were mined there just outside the city walls, and that brought great wealth to the community. Philippi was also constructed in the lowest passage in a mountain range that runs between western Turkey and eastern Greece, separating Asia from Europe, thus establishing it as a commercial gateway between Asia and Europe. And therefore, when the Romans took over the region, Philippi took on an even greater economic significance as a Roman colony in which that trade could be governed, regulated, and taxed. As a consequence, over 300 retired Roman army veterans and their families moved into Philippi and established this Roman colony. And as a consequence, by the time we see the Apostle Paul on the scene, that Greco-Roman culture had become very much ingrained into the city life. And in the midst of that, Greco-Roman culture was also a great deal of emphasis upon pagan religions. So, as we look at the book of Acts, and as we have explored the story about Lydia, we know that when Paul and Silas and others came into the city and started sharing the gospel news, Paul and Silas were also confronted by a sorceress slave girl. Now, she made her owners a lot of money doing the telling of fortunes throughout the city. But yet, when the Apostle Paul healed her, that so-called gift was lost, and so was the income. As a consequence, her owners got really upset. How dare you take away our income that we're getting off of our slave girl? We look at that and think that's so absurd, but they were horribly upset. As a consequence, they went to the civic authorities and said, "We got to do something about these guys. They're disrupting the commerce." And so they had Paul and Silas, of course, not only beaten, but thrown into the jail. And not only just thrown into the jail, they were put into shackles. Now, we remember that while they were there in that prison, midnight came around, and through the course of the time, Paul and Silas had been praying to God and singing hymns of praise. And all of a sudden, the walls shook, and the prison doors flung open. And Paul and Silas and a lot of the other folks in there were freed. But what is striking is, of course, that Paul and Silas, as the jailer, was about to kill himself, because it was a code in the day that if your prisoner went free, you would suffer the consequence of whatever that prisoner's sentence was. So if you had a murderer in your jail and the murderer got out, you would be put to death. So here the jailer is about to run his sword through himself to kill himself, and Paul says, "No, no, no, don't do that. We're not going anywhere. We're staying put." And just out of the graciousness that the jailer experience there about Paul and Silas, that transformed the jailer's heart and mind. And we know that he too becomes a believer, he and all of his household, and they are baptized. So a lot of significant ministries going on here in Philippi, right? Now, we know that Paul and Silas, they're eventually freed from the prison, but where do they go? When they're freed, they go to the house of Lydia. Remember, she was the one who was at the riverside, the dealer in the purple cloth. Very expensive, elite kind of commerce here that Lydia was involved in. And although Lydia and her household were also brought to Christ through the teachings of the Apostle Paul, what we have to understand is that it is quite likely that Lydia and her household also suffered loss of business, if not outright harassment, from many of the other Philippians as a consequence of her willingness to follow the ways of Christ through Paul and Silas. Now, as we look at the life of Paul, we understand that he took great pride in the fact that he was a self-sufficient evangelist who paid his own way as he traversed from town to town sharing the gospel news throughout all three of his missionary journeys. How did he make a living? He was a tent maker. He repaired and made new tents. Repaired old ones, made new ones. I've often thought, I wonder how he managed that. I mean, you can't go dragging a bunch of cowhide around with you all the time. That's more stuff than you can handle. He'd have to acquire that from every location he went to, but obviously he probably had a bag full of tools and instruments that he used for his craft. But Paul made his way as he journeyed from place to place. And yet, despite the troubles that the Philippian Christian people must have endured as they became unpopular in their own hometown, what is striking is that on three different occasions, the Philippian Christians offer up to Paul an offering to help him in his work. And from what we know in Scripture, the offerings he received graciously from the church in Philippi were the only offerings that Paul accepted. Because again, he was very proud of the fact that he made his own way. But the reason he must have accepted the gifts from the Philippian church is that he had such a tremendous bond of fellowship and communion with these people. And of the three offerings that were given, there was also an assistant by the name of Epaphroditus who was offered to Paul to be like a working assistant for him, you know, and that the Philippian folks would have paid for the charges on that care. But yet, unfortunately, what happened for Epaphroditus is they got sick in the midst of the journey, as many people did become ill as they journeyed across that Mediterranean area. And as a consequence, he went back to Philippi. Didn't stay with Paul very long at all. But you see, isn't it striking that in spite of the difficulties that they experienced, here, the Philippian Christians wanted to do joyfully what they could for Paul. And we know that by the time he writes this letter that we call the Book of Philippians, several years had passed. Paul, at this point, is in what is called house arrest, which meant that he was chained to a Roman guard day and night. Now, I think the guards changed with the change of shifts. But for Paul, every day, here he had a Roman soldier chained to him. I don't imagine their hygiene was the best in the day either. Imagine what that was like. Now, being in a rented apartment, if you will, and yet having a Roman soldier attached to you wherever you go, whatever you're trying to do, I imagine it made it really difficult to fix tents. Don't you think? And we also know that by this time, Paul had been aging. He'd already suffered through many beatings, stonings, and he had no Advil. I imagine his body was so riddled that he must have just simply been in pain all the time. If anybody would have had, if you will, the license to be grumpy, or to have a bad attitude, you would think it would be Paul, right? And yet, we have to look at the text here of Philippians, the fourth chapter, and see how Paul writes. He starts out with the fourth verse, "May you always be joyful in your union with the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." And then he says in verse 5, "Show a gentle attitude toward everyone. The Lord is coming soon." There is no English word that actually translates the expression that is in Greek here as well as it should. But it really means to approach others with the greatest level of selfless regard, respectability, and compassion without compromising the integrity of your own values. And this is what we see with Paul. In spite of everything he'd been through, in spite of the fact that, his body must have just been riddled in pain from what he had gone through, yet he says, be joyful and have this kind of wonderful attitude toward other people. And he goes on as the text continues, the sixth verse, don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And then in the next verse, he said, now if you do this, God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds safe. Another word for that would be like sheltered or garrisoned. In other words, solidified, if you will, in union with Christ Jesus. You see, the interesting thing about the Apostle Paul is that his mind, his spirit, his very being was so filled with praise and adoration to God, there was no room for grumpiness or for a blame and shame toward other people or some sense of a retribution. None of that existed in his heart and mind because he was so filled with the joy of the privilege of being able to proclaim the gospel, right? Yeah, there's a lot of folks sometimes get pretty grumpy as we go day to day about our task. We see it, don't we? But what we have to understand is that as believers in the faith, we are to be inspired by the example that we see. I'm not talking about Jesus today, because you know we get lost there because we think, oh, well, he's of God. We're not of God, so we can't be like Jesus. No. But we can be like Paul, another human being who faced stuff that was far more difficult than most of us will ever experience, right? And yet look at the gentle spirit, the gentle attitude that the Apostle Paul carried forth as a profound witness as he stepped forward with each and every day. That's what you and I are called to do and be. Have a gentle attitude. No matter what's been going on in our lives, there's no place for grumpiness or bad attitude, and certainly no place for violence. I don't care whether you got your McDonald's something or another or not. Right? Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is that day you need to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. And maybe today is your day to come forward, become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I extend the invitation to you as we turn to hymn number 494, They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, stanzas 1 and 4 of 494. May we stand and sing, please.
We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father, from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, God's only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Just a reminder again, today the crop walk, sign up is about 12:45, and the walk itself starts about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Want to encourage folks to attend. Again, the address, including the zip code, if you're going to put that on your GPS, is in the bulletin insert page, so hope you can join us. May we bow our heads in prayer. Gracious and holy God, we are indeed grateful for the day and for the privilege to step forward in ways that we can show a gentle attitude in all that we do and say in a way that brings glory to your kingdom here on earth. Guide us today and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.
Weave us together, weave us together in unity and love. Weave us together, weave us together, together in love. Weave us together in unity and love. Weave us together, weave us together, together in love.